With 25% off all new and up to 70% off previously leased furnishings, do you really need a better reason to party? We don't think so. Come visit our new Court Furniture Clearance Center with more than 9,000 square feet of new and previously leased furniture and decor for your home and office. Sofas from $199.99, bedroom sets from $399.99, dining sets from $299.99, and more. Free food, prizes, and fun all weekend long at our Chantilly Court Furniture Clearance Center at 13946 Lee Jackson Memorial Highway, or go online at courtclearancefurniture.com.
The Big Papa Online Network on Blog Talk Radio is on the air.
So, how are you? How's the weather over there in Germany?
Yeah, all fine. The only problem is that the internet may be a little bit difficult today because they have some problems with the line. So I hope everything is going through here and you can hear me well.
Well, so far I hear you fine.
We are doing great. We're just coming back from our video shoot, which we did on a medieval castle.
Nice.
A couple hours from here. Yeah, it was awesome. It was a great location. And we did a video shoot for Pandemonium, which turned out really, really cool. And we were looking for the result now. And they're going to finish it this week already. So
is this the same castle you took photos at for the album?
No, that's another one. That one is a monastery in the Black Forest. Also not so far from here. And that's actually a really cool place too. It's a very old ruin of a monastery, and our photographer was there once before, and he told us actually the shooting was 10 degrees minus degrees in the winter time. It was quite a challenge.
It looked cold, but you got some beautiful photos out of it.
Yeah, thank you.
You know, we really got into you guys. We saw you when you came on with the tour with Camelot, B.B. King's The Legendland Tour. And, you know, I talked to your wife a few months back on the show, and we just got blown away. I mean, you guys just blew them off the stage. And we love Camelot. That's why we went there, to see Camelot. But after that, we walked out. We were Lisa's fans.
That's awesome. It's like the yin and yang for us. Like, you know, the atrocity and Lee's eyes. It's like we are happy that we can play on such a, let's say, professional level with two bands. That's like a huge thing.
And, you know, I mentioned that I had Leave on the show a few months back, and she had painted this really romantic portrait of how you guys met and your relationship. So is it as good as she was saying?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know exactly how long we are together, though, but actually we have been on tour together. In her first tour, she was the part of Atrocity with Theater of Tragedy.
Right.
And she told me I was not treating her good or bad, but that fucking room was sauce. I have to warn, she lost her voice on tour or had problems, and then I remember maybe that was the romantic side of the story. I told her how to get back in shape. Actually, the way it was is not so nice. I told it actually to Kai as well from when he was in Camelot. He has to take a mouthful of olive oil, and you have to drink it very, very slow, and you do the process like 3 or 4 times in a row, and then your voice is getting better. I mean, you have a sore throat.
Interesting. Yeah, because, you know, I always got this picture of you building Lee's eyes around her. So from the outside, it looks like, you know, all the stuff she was saying, this big romantic story, could have been possible.
Yeah. But, you know, the thing is, we have been on honeymoon once, and then we were creating the name. And what would you say to your wife when you're in Ireland in a very nice cottage? Thinking about the name, and she would ask, what do you like? What's the most beautiful thing about me? Oh, your blue, ocean blue eyes, of course. So that was for the eyes, the name, inspiration, probably.
All right. So, you know, if you're ready, we can get rolling.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay. Listen to Third Eye Cinema, your source for in-depth discussion of cult cinema. Tonight, modern metal legend Mr. Alex Krull of Lee's Eyes and Atrocity on the Big Papa Online Network on Blog Talk Radio. We'll be right back. Good evening, Open the Third Eye Cinema, where the focus is on film that matters, cult, grindhouse, drive-in, independent and underground film from the dawn of the talkies through the early 90s. As the producer and owner of Master Sound Studios, he's worked with gothic metal greats like Ellis, Delane, Theater of Tragedy, and Visions of Atlantis, and traditional thrash metal veterans like Doro Pesh of Warlock, Whiplash, and Anvil. His mastermind behind Leaves Eyes, he co-fronts the most recognized and beloved act in gothic, symphonic, and Viking pagan metal circles. And as leader of his own long-running band, Atrocity, he's consistently pushed the boundaries of death metal, tapping into gothic, industrial, and even pop territory over a long and varied career spanning back to the mid-80s. Join us tonight for an entertaining and informative interview with Alex Krull of Leaves Eyes and Atrocities, only here on Third Eye Cinema. In our first segment, we'll be talking about Hallucinations, recording with the legendary Scott Burns at Mar Sound Studios, and the infamous Deicide Tour, where they ran afoul of some animal activists. But first, just to give you an idea what we're talking about, here's Atrocity setting loose some pandemonium.
Thank you.
Tonight we're talking metal, and we have with us a man who is truly a legend in modern metal circles. As the man behind Germany's Master Sound Studios, he has hosted, produced, and engineered some of the most important names in gothic, symphonic, traditional, and underground metal in Europe today. As the vocalist and guiding force behind one of Germany's longest-running extreme metal bands, he then joined forces with much-beloved Theater of Tragedy vocalist Leif Christine in both a business and personal context, giving birth to perhaps the most well-known and beloved of all pagan gothic symphonic metal bands in existence, the mighty Leif's Eyes. And as the leader of his own long-running band Atrocity, he has consistently pushed the boundaries of death metal, tapping into such areas as gothic rock, industrial, and even pop in a career that spans all the way back to the mid-80s. Here today to discuss his latest and greatest, a very strong album that not only delivers some grinding old-school style death metal, but comes with an interesting and unusual promotional contest. Ladies and gentlemen, please join me in welcoming vocalist, producer, and mastermind behind both Leif's Eyes and Atrocity, Mr. Alex Kroll. Alex, welcome to Third Eye Cinema.
Thank you very much. That's a nice welcome.
You're an interesting guy in a few respects. You know, not only do you run two successful bands with very different styles, but you also run a well-respected studio and have produced a number of bands, including one of my favorites, Ellis, Delane, Dural Pesh of Warlock, Sandra Schlereth's old band Siegfried, Theater of Tragedy, Visions of Atlantis, Whiplash, Anvil, and apparently even the legendary Scorpions.
That dumping, this is like a cheerleader, a bunch of cheerleaders from Stuttgart called the Scorpions. That's what I wanted to say. Yeah, I mean, I did a lot of work for other bands, and I did also producing a lot of other artists and also doing mixdown or mastering. Like, you know, Dural Pesh, for example, it was awesome also to get Gus G into the business, playing some cool lead guitars or solo guitars on one of the songs. So that's something I really love to do, besides doing my own bands, is to work with other artists. You know, I think since we started the band, I was always into this studio techniques as well. And I was studying it in the early 90s in Munich, and then jumping over directly into a record company and working there for 6 years. So I'm a metalhead, you know, that's my lifestyle, and dedicated my whole life to it. And it's like being in a band, being a music producer, and also was working for record companies. And yeah, I did that for Massacre Records. I was their marketing and motion head of that department and A&R, and I was also A&R talent scout for Roadrunner Records and Napalm as well. So that's something I did, and I started actually when you were saying about the past of us, when I was a teenager or a kid, starting to organize my own shows because nobody really wanted to do extreme metal shows. So I actually did the first death metal European festivals back in the 90s, and I was 18, 90 years old.
Wow. You had your hands in everything. And I was actually just going to touch on some of what you were saying, because, you know, you also worked A&R for labels like Roadrunner and Napalm, not to mention producing both Leif's Eyes, Atrocity, and your wife, Leif Christine's solo albums. When do you get time to kick back and relax?
Yeah, that's a problem. I have no time at all. you know, you have to sacrifice, actually. If you're a full metal professional or whatever, you probably have to sacrifice half of your, or probably everything of your free time. And, you know, but the good side of it is your dream come true, you know.
Sure.
Your hobby turning into your job, or I don't call it job, actually. For me, it's like being an artist, you know, working with your art. And, you know, when we do music for our band Atrocity or Leif's Eyes, it's like we paint a new picture. And it's very exciting, you know. It's like you choose the right colors, you choose the right atmosphere. And for me, actually, the genre is one thing, right, but like categorizing is the other. I think for me, like, music is like a good or a bad picture, let's say.
Right.
I like it or I don't like it. And I think that's the way it should be in the metal genre. So when you're saying, oh, you also produce Leif solo albums, I find it's really cool handmade rock and pop music. I'm fine with that too.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. You're actually showing the actual picture I have of you as a thinking man's rocker, and you're showing that right now. So that's yours, right. You know, your main claim to fame over here in the States, outside of Leif's Eyes and the Master Sound Studios production end of things, was that you were one of the first bands from outside the area and one of the very few from Europe to fly in to Morris Sound Studios in the muggy swamps, retirement homes, and prevalent scam artists of Florida. So what occasioned this? Because I have to say that I'm surprised that Nuclear Blast ponied up the money for the whole band to fly down there from Central Germany.
Yeah, right. That was quite a trip. First of all, it was not only the band coming down to Morrison, it was also Nuclear Blast themselves.
Right.
So it was half of the staff coming, joining us. It was a really hell of a trip. We already met Immolation on the transfer in New York, I think.
Right.
So all the bands were coming. Obituary was in the studio. Nocturnus, Mike Browning was showing us around, Morbid Angel. Actually, when the production was finished, Glenn Benton and me were sitting in the car listening to Hallucinations in his car. And
wow.
Before I went to the airport. It was really cool. So Dee Side was there too. So I can't remember all details, but I think for Nuclear Blast, it was something like breakthrough or fall situation. Somebody there, but it was a very successful album for them. It was one of their breakthroughs at the time, and they became very big. Nowadays, it's number one metal label, I would say.
And I was going to say that album was actually pretty influential. I understand that people like, you know, Gorguts, they actually took their more technical albums that followed on, you know, not considered dead, but past that, from Hallucinations.
Right, yeah. I think it was this pioneering spirit we still keep in the band was already there. Yeah, we wanted to be that band from our area, which is going out and bring also some input into the scene. We have been a long time in the underground ourselves, tape traders, and also, yeah, like I said, doing the shows. And we were fortunate and blessed, actually, that Germany's biggest and first metal club ever, the Rockfabrik Ludwigsburg, was just our second home. We were rehearsing there, we met all the bands, so we were a big part in that scene too. And of course, we wanted to be a band which is influential, not just taking from other bands. And we were quite ambitious maybe in that time.
Yeah. And speaking of this time period, you were actually on tour with Deicide on the infamous early 90s tour where Glenn Benton had made some crazy comments in the press and animal rights activists were deluging the band and venues with death threats and such. How crazy was it on that tour?
That tour was insane because we had really, besides the bomb threats going on, we had really bomb blowing off in Sweden because of that interviews and people, they were always, you know, calling or writing facts or letters that they get us. And we didn't really know in the beginning who it was. Was it Extreme Christian or was it Animal Militia or whoever?
Right.
And then it turned out that in Sweden, the bomb turned blown off and we had a big mess over there. And the police came and there was a riot with the people because I had to go on stage and tell everybody that the show was over. And then, yes, there was riot, police were fighting with the kids, and then I played one song and they shouldn't and whatever it was. And then it was stopped anyway. And then we continued the tour and we said, okay, we don't want to go home. We don't want to give up. Gophers, they were also there. They were fed up. The bomb exploded actually when they played.
Right.
So they went off the tour bus in Holland. But we continued until the very end. And in Manchester, there was another bomb. And it was when we played the show, actually, the defense was not even at the venue.
Why you?
So they found the bomb below the drum riser or close to the drum riser. So it was really dangerous. So a SWAT team came and a special team, or was it from the army? I can't remember 100%, but all the people had to go out and they took the bomb into a metal box and let it blown off.
Wow.
And yeah, we were young and wild and even then we continued the tour and made it to the final in London. And afterwards we said, wow, that was a crazy trip, you know, besides a lot of other tour experiences that you actually had risked your life.
And another thing comes to mind with all this is that, not related to that specifically, but related to the fact that you went to Morrisound, since you have become known and you've got a name for yourself as a guy who runs a studio and as a producer and an engineer and all this, did you pick up or were you inspired? Did you pick up any tips or tricks or were you inspired by working with the great Scott Burns?
I actually have to say that guy was amazing. Scott was great. Also, the guys from Morris Sound itself, Jim Morris and Tom Morrison, were really, really nice, good people. And the whole studio trip was amazing. And, of course, I thought, yeah, in Germany, we had some studios. And most of them, they were quite expensive, but we didn't have like the real death metal studio or something like that, where everybody would go, like Sunlight in Sweden or like the Morris Sound. And yeah, so I started also to do my own stuff, and maybe that was a kind of inspiration, and that I went and studied that stuff myself. And Scott was a really cool guy, and it's just a shame in the meantime then that so many bands were producing there and people were blaming him, like the typical Morris Sound, studio sound or whatever. Although they were really good productions, they were blaming him, and he didn't want to continue. But I think when the band comes in and say, hey, I want to sound like Sepultura or whatever, then yeah.
That's what you give them.
To do the sound. Like. But actually, for us, was very lucky. I found our sound very good, but it was not like everybody else's sound. I had the impression, and he said he was very happy also, and we had a very short time frame, only 6 or 7 days.
Wow.
I was lost my voice before recording and shit like that, because I wasn't used to the air conditioning in Florida.
With all that humidity.
People were crazy about that, too. We played like 5 death metal festivals with Carcass and Punch Extension, all those bands. I organized them, you know, flying over. You have a short time frame, doing the record. We were all mixing the album in 16 hours or something like that, going back by plane, and continue touring with Carcass.
Wow.
Like the next day. It was amazing and crazy, too.
The kind of thing you can only do when you're in your 20s.
Yeah, that's right. It would not happen today.
You're listening to Third Eye Cinema with tonight's guest, Alex Kroll of Atrocity and Peace Eyes. Coming up next, I'll tell you after the break. Only here on Third Eye Cinema.
Singer Beauty O, and you listen to the show Third Eye Cinema.
Greetings, pathetic mortal scum. This is Chris from Gloriana, and you're listening to Third Eye Cinema.
That's my evil wizard.
Wow, that was great. Can you do one in the pirate voice?
Sure, I could be Captain Chris from Aelstrom if you want that.
Sure.
All I do is put on fucking accents all day long. Ahoy there, shipmates. This is Chris from Aelstrom, and you're listening to Third Eye Cinema. Yar.
Well,
yeah, I hate myself.
No, that was great. I can't tell you how much I appreciate that.
Okay, hi there. This is George and Thomas from Serenity, and you're listening to Third Eye Cinema Show together with Team.
That's right.
Should we do it one more time? Okay. So, hi there. This is Georg and Thomas from Serenity, and you're listening to Third Eye Cinema.
In our next segment, we'll be talking some more of the history of the band through the last 20 years and the rotation of members for both Leeds Eyes and Atrocity, only here on Third Eye Cinema. Atrocity is clearly a band that's not afraid to take chances and explore some really unusual corners of the musical zeitgeist. I mean, Hallucinations is very different from something like Verk 60, which is very different from a cult.
That's true. I mean, Verk 80, by the way.
Sorry.
You have to say, for me, I see probably the whole way of doing this band a little different. We don't want to be stuck in a one-way street, let's say, or something like, oh, they made Hallucinations, they always have to do the same record, like, oh, they made their Rain in Blood, and now every record has to sound like Rain in Blood.
Right.
No, we were avoiding that situation, actually, already with the next album, Buddhist Hindus or longing for death, that we brought in orchestral elements for our singers and so on, already then on the second album. So we were breaking boundaries there already. And on the third album as well, with Blood, it was probably the most vibrant death metal album in that time or ever. You know, even the ballad on, ballad and a female singer, my sister Yasmin. So that was really like breaking boundaries and going the directions. And that's how I see it, actually. You know, I see it more from the artistic way. We have directors or filmmakers. Which one is the best? Somebody who can only do one part of a movie, like always the same, like let's say action movie, always action, action. An actor always being an actor for action movie. Or is the real artist or the real actor somebody who can play every kind of role?
Right.
Being a killer, being a killer, being the victim, or in the next movie being a hero. And I think I can really easily compare us as a metal band into this point of view, that we want to do good music and the genre is doesn't matter so much, you know. Or the genre, okay, is metal, but, you know, the category of metal. We can do extreme metal, but we can also do, let's say, Work 80 is probably so-called gothic metal or whatever.
To that point, I was going to say that you certainly can't accuse you guys of timidity because you've been very bold about pursuing whatever strikes your fancy at the moment stylistically. And right from the start, you were actually unusual with the cover for Hallucinations because you used H.R. Giger, but before people started thinking Celtic Frost or Danzig or Carcass's Heartwork, it was actually this really strange, almost Rococo sort of a thing with people melting into each other. It's not his usual style at all. And, of course, your whole album's about drug abuse, so right out of the gate, you're tracking new ground and making your own path of footsteps in the snow, as it were.
Yeah, right. I mean, that's exactly it. Everybody was writing gore stories or splatter or whatever. And I thought, yeah, it would be much more a challenge to have a dark story, but to connect it to real life. And actually, this is something we have now on Occult the Same. Of course, these are real, very dark stories, but this is not fantasy in the way, let's say. They are really connected to
history.
History of Mankind, yeah.
The one album or pair of albums I find most fascinating in the story of Atrocity are the two Verk 80s records, which are all covers of 80s new wave and pop tunes. But more specifically speaking, like Delane, you covered Bronski Beat's Small Town Boy, which is an unusual choice given its unofficial status as a sort of gay anthem.
Yeah, it's true. It was already with Tainted Love like that.
Yes.
Tainted Love was that gay whatever song in the 80s. And the people really told me, do you really want to do this? You're on the metal band. I said, yeah, come on, I'm not gay.
Right.
It's a cool song. And actually, everybody liked, for some reason, they liked the Tainted Love cover artwork, where we have the two ladies on the cover. Oh, nobody has a problem with that, right?
Right.
And, then when was it, like 1 year or 2 years later, then Marilyn Manson did the same thing. So,
yeah.
Take it off.
And, you know, you actually covered a lot of songs and acts that fall under that general header. You know, Frankie Goes to Hollywood, Pet Shop Boys, Soft Cell, like you mentioned. It's refreshing but unusual to see this sort of flagrant open-mindedness and hyper-aggressive macho man feel of extreme metal.
That's right. I mean, actually, those songs in the 80s, I was not really listening to. I was full metal kid, that's it. Yeah, completely in the scene. But I had some friends who was interesting. They were in the rave scene.
Right.
And it was kind of crossover, let's say, already in my teenage days. When we had parties, we had like two rooms at my home. One room was for the metal kids and one room was for the rave guys, let's say, or the gothic people. And they were listening to Deepish Mode and all those bands. And it was really hard already then to bring them together, to party even. You know, it was impossible, actually. They didn't want to speak to each other. But I had a good friend, and she was, let's say, a very cool character. And she always had a kind of humor and to show me her music. And I said, forget it. There are no guitars inside. Where are the guitars? And maybe that was the original inspiration to do a Work 80 album, to give a song like Shout a heavy vibe or turn it into an Atrocity song.
Right.
And it was a crazy idea, you know. And I think the roots is in this time, in those days.
And, you know, speaking of pushing boundaries, Atrocity's entire career has followed a path well outside the accepted standards of the death metal subgenre. You know, as far back as Blut in 1994, you started a good 10-year period of experimentation that really seemed to go far afield of the template.
That's right. The Blood album was really the big change for the band. It was probably the most important album for our career, and that we are still going on, you know, through all these years. I remember very well in this time period, many bands split up, or let's say they were frustrated or whatever. They were caught in their own art, let's say, and they were not really happy to continue, and they came back later maybe. But I think you were never ever thinking of stopping, you know.
Right.
We want to continue to be an extreme band, but extreme means also to be experimental, you know, and that I always loved Dead Can Dance, and I always loved bands like Laibach,
right.
And I also loved the Amanda Galas. They were not connected to metal.
Yeah, you're talking to my roots because I came in as a goth and a punk before I got into metal, so you want to get lost. Okay.
And I actually met her in the time. I wanted to have Galas on our Blood album. And there was, I don't know if you know that, but there was serious talks. Yeah, but she couldn't make it. She was in London and I think doing her own thing. So we couldn't get her over for the album. But that's still a dream, actually. And yeah, and then, you know, this period, what you're speaking about, that we were actually one of the bands bringing gothic and metal together when we did this project album with Das Ist der German, leading German dark wave band. And everybody was shaking their heads and saying, wow, what the guy's doing now? You made ballads on the death metal album. You made an ethno meets metal album with your sister Yasmin, Calling the Rain. And now you're going even further, playing together with a dark wave band, where you want to end up. And I said, I don't know. We just want to move on.
Yes.
And in these times, people were saying, maybe you remember that, everybody was saying metal is dead.
Yes.
And I wanted to prove in my little role, let's say, we are not Kiss or Metallica. We're, in the way we're doing music, or in our small range of being a South German death metal band, we want to prove it goes on. You know, there is metal and there is a future for that kind of music. Fuck everybody who's not believe that. So that was just another way to play that kind of music. And we continued like that. But also we brought out an album like Wissenschaft, which was, yeah, also very brutal. And had also some heavy stuff on, of course.
But these days you've gone back to the original, more straight-ahead death metal approach. And in fact, I honestly think Occult is head and shoulders above what you were doing back in the days of Hallucinations and such. You know, it's less technical and ambitious in certain respects, but it's more powerful and listener-friendly maybe because of that.
Yeah, the technical thing, yeah, I would not underestimate, to be because if you check out the drums and some guitar stuff, they are quite demanding. Yeah, it's maybe not so abstract, let's say. Like we have that unconventional beats on the Hallucinations. It's maybe more catchy now, that's true, or more straightforward in a way. But musically on a very, very high level, also together with the orchestra and the choirs and, you know, all the background with the lyrical concept, I think it suits very well together. And we wanted to have a very organic sound as well to get this or create this dark atmosphere. Maybe something we had done also on Longing for Death, you guys call it Longing for Death, right? Quasi Todessehnsucht, the German title. But okay, it's Longing for Death. And Blood, they had also some atmospheres on the album, and we wanted to put these also on the Occult album, the first one of the album trilogy. And yeah, I think to cook a very good meal is also needed that you bring in your experience and also the spices you used before.
Right. You got to throw in a lot of ingredients to make a good meal.
Some Hallucinations are in there, that's for sure. Just listen to Death by Metal.
Atrocity is also a bit unique in that essentially it's Lee's Eyes minus Leif Christine, but recording in a very different style. Now, I know Torsten works on all three projects, with Atrocity since Das Liebe back in 1995, with Lee's Eyes since Vinland Saga, and with Lee since their breakthrough album Enter My Religion. But you've had any number of guitarists, drummers, and bass players doing at least double duty, including Christian and Martin from the pre-Ellis Urban The Shop Phone, Roland Navratil from Edenbridge, and the legendary Nick Barker from Cradle of Filth, among many. So given the high level of rotation over the years, Do you find it difficult to identify musicians who have the skill set necessary to switch from death metal to gothic symphonic pagan to more of a radio-oriented pop sound, or is it just too demanding on time to have to work, you know, double or triple band duty?
There's a little bit of everything. I think we didn't want to have actually the rotation system, let's say. We had quite a steady lineup for then. You know, you have one problem. You have a kind of family feeling within the band. And then to find a new family member, that's first of all, like on a personal level, not always so easy.
Right.
The second part is, you know, the duties and the demanding of the band. That's why we actually now have a drummer for Atrocity, like Joris. He's perfect match for the band. He's from the extreme metal scene in Holland. He's fantastic drummer. And Felix, he's playing for Leaves Eyes. He's more rock-oriented, groove metal, something like that, I would describe. So there we made already like a step that we said, okay, maybe for a drummer it's too much to have both sides of like the more brutal and extreme
right.
stuff than we do in Lee's Eyes. And, you know, you have to be able to play both things, like Atrocity and Lee's Eyes. But Sandor, for example, he plays guitar like Tosso, also in Lee's Eyes, in Atrocity 2. And this is, I think, also very, how to say that, it depends on the character, let's say. If somebody is open-minded for musical taste, himself listening to a big variety of music, he's also able to play and compose and be part of a of bands doing different styles, let's say.
Right.
And this is something we're demanding, of course. You know, we want somebody to join us. He should be able to write a song for Lee's Eyes or, on the other side, for Atrocity.
Right.
But it's not that we force somebody, but it's good to have to choose somebody who is identifying himself also in this way to be in bands which are different from each other.
You're listening to Third Eye Cinema with our special guest, Alex Kroll of Lee's Eyes and Atrocity. In our final segment, we'll be talking the new album, Occult, the unusual promotional contest relating to it, and the death metal scene today. I'm here on Third Eye Cinema.
Hi, this is Mirai from Psy, and you are listening to Third Eye Cinema.
Hi, this is Dr. McCannibal from Psy. You're listening to Third Eye Cinema.
This is Brian Lawrence from Dream Death, and you're listening to Third Eye Cinema.
Let's talk the new album, Occult. First of all, there's an interesting promotion going on where you're doing the
that's right. It's the first metal treasure hunt ever. I'm proud of that, inventing that. So you know, it's also a signal for the value of music. You know, why everything has to be downloaded nowadays? Why having bonus tracks on a digipack or whatever? These tracks, they are unique. They are really one of a kind. You cannot download them. They are not somewhere else. Then on a 24-karat golden CD. And only one for each Occult album. Occult 1, Occult 2 has one, and Occult 3 has another one. So three songs. We destroyed all master files. And for the first Occult album, this big, whatever, big deal, big present, is hidden in a place, an occult place, actually, in Europe. Or the second of the occult album, we plan to go overseas to you guys. Or maybe South America. We have to see. And the third one will be in Asia. So we will have some time. Now it's the first treasure hunt for the first occult album. And it's starting already with a riddle. You have hints in the booklet. You have to encode it to a title of the song. And then you can log in on the Atrocity website. And there it starts the treasure hunt that everybody can take part, also from the States or Canada, from all over the world. We even waiting for you guys, because I know the album is coming out a little later.
Right.
So that means maybe the European guys were thinking, yes, we have an advantage. No, you haven't. We wait until everybody's in the boat, let's say, and then the whole adventure starts. And I find it exciting myself. Also, to go to places to feel the magic and also to hide something, which is very unique and all that stuff, and in once in a lifetime. So I'm really looking forward. The one or the guy or the group of people, maybe we have treasure hunter groups, I have no idea. Right. Or maybe nobody looks for that, but I so many people are asking, where is it? Give me a tip. Where, give me a hint. Where is it? No, I won't tell you. So actually, I'm really looking forward. What will happen? What will this person do? Will sell the song? Will it be own treasure or her own treasure? Or will it be sold on the internet, on eBay, or to a museum, or uploading it for everybody?
Wow.
I don't know. If I would go that long way to find it, I'm not sure if I would be so stupid just to sell it or just whatever,
right,
it on the net. I don't know. I didn't say stupid now, sorry. But that's an advice. Maybe it's something like we usually do in the music. We don't know really the 100% result of this.
Right.
It makes it exciting.
And, you know, what's fascinating about this is I understand this is buried in random websites. Or not random, but, you know, the clues will point to these strange websites. But that you claim, like you said, that the master tapes were actually destroyed. And what really struck me...
No. That's 100% true. The thing is that we don't keep it, you know. The thing is that they don't have it, too. Nobody. I'm the only guy who knows where it is.
Okay.
And all the other hints as well, by the way.
Okay. Because I was saying, that's putting a lot of faith in the fans.
Now, the title is a bit misleading. You know, it's not like you're going all black metal on us and throwing some cheesy encyclopedia of demonology at the fans or something. This is more of a historical and literary focus in search of kind of a thing, where you're tapping into unsolved mysteries, the prophecies of Nostradamus, tales of haunted castles, the Louis XIV era fortune teller and poisoner Lavoisin, and Erichtho, the Lamian witch from Grecian myth, who's also been linked to the fury Alecto of Virgil's Aeneid, and who's represented on the album cover. And Murder, Blood, Assassination appears to be the Shakespearean soothsayer from Julius Caesar and Tony Beware the Ides of March.
Exactly, yes. That's something we were really looking for after we were making the Atlantis album. It was already a big concept there, and it was, you know, Atlantis, biggest myth on Earth. What can you do bigger than this? And I wanted to go bigger. So, the mysteries of the world. So we decided already back then, we knew there will be another Rock 82 record. There will be big projects like our DVD, The Godless Years, which was a huge amount of work to bring everything together of our career and put it on film. And we knew also we wanted to do an album with my sister Yasmin, After the Storm, in between. So we knew, okay, after all these projects, we have to come back with a killer album, with a killer concept, and also with a brutal one. And at the same time, it should be something new, something inspiring, something, yeah, which is still in these times, everything is done before, exciting. And that's why I came up with the idea to make this big concept of the occult trilogy. And I have to say, start yourself with all the research and, you know, you do the music, of course, and all that, but you bring in, like, these stories and all that, and you can go actually to those places, and you can also meet these people, real people in history and all that. I find it very attractive, you know, to start something like that. So show what's behind the mirror, what's going on with mankind, what is the darkest side of humanity.
Exactly, so, and it gives a lot of richness to the music, because it's not just, you know, some cheesy stuff. something that, you know, was history.
Yeah. I mean, you know, like you said about La Voisin, you know, the poison of Paris, actually she was a witch and making black masses, but it
right.
came out after she was executed for poisoning. That was something which no Agatha Christie criminal thriller story. It's like, wow, what's going on now? People actually were doing black masses for their own career, and it was even functioning for some of them. So, yeah, really weird, and that leads us to the thing that the combination of dark history or, you know, all this stuff, people probably cannot really explain always in life. It's not only these brutal stories we have. We have also stuff on where, you know, you think about, wow, how's this going to happen, you know? We don't know everything. We have a big brain, but using only a small part as human beings.
True.
And also science had to go on in a certain time of history.
Astronomy came from astrology, and you know, this stuff all came out of this kind of searching for answers in places that, you know, weren't necessarily easily found.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, when you have, as an example, when you have a foundation in your, let's say, religion or government or whatever, and you want to control the people, the authorities always use a very bad trick. It's fear.
Yes.
It's like, if you tell people about fear, they believe you.
Yep.
Everything. They go to the next war, if you tell them, well, if we don't kill those people, we all gonna die. Or the other way, if you don't behave like in our rules, like written in our book, and it's not only the Bible, I would say probably most of the world religions going on, then you're gonna go and burn in hell. Yeah, of course you do. Have you seen hell? Yeah, you're gonna see it in Pandemonium video. And check it out.
And that's one thing I've noticed about Germanic bands in particular. They seem to be very literate and well-versed in both history and classical literature. I mean, we've got Gravedigger, Ahab, Austria's Serenity, yourselves. It's not the usual, pummel your face, or yeah, go metal, stupidity we tend to hear over here in the States. So it's refreshing.
Yeah. I mean, I liked it. Actually, for me, it's more exciting than just writing any fantasy or horror or splatter that we kill, die for whatever reason. And I think if you have a like a band like Atrocity doing a cult album, you don't expect the regular lyrics, right?
And you know, the album comes with a very striking cover and a very atmospheric photo shoot outside some old castle or cathedral battlements. So where were those taken?
Yeah, actually, the band shots were taken in an old monastery ruin in the Black Forest or other ruin, and we took the pictures minus 10 degrees session in the winter time. Fantastic. Thank God. Yeah, sorry God. we had our coats with us. So that was awesome photo shoot. I really have to say it was a really special atmosphere. It was great to do the shoot. And actually also with our witch, Eric Toe, that was quite amazing. While we were taking outside in the wintertime, the shooting, minus 10 degrees, like I said, or even colder, we had to warm up her tomb. And this is also a real one. It's not a Photoshop picture. 23 degrees plus for her snakes.
Wow.
So we were sweating actually in the shoot for the cover artwork in the meantime. And yeah, that was quite amazing. Quite an experience for me to hang the snakes around her neck.
And just so listeners get it, he's talking 23 degrees Celsius. So.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah, sorry. You say different than that. You also measure different in some other things, right?
Not only is the album very well produced, which is something that I've noticed about all of your work, but there's a high level of musicianship represented here, and you managed to add in a few prominent operatic vocal choirs on some tracks.
Yeah, I mean, that was really cool. You know, my wife, Liv, she was first soprano in a choir in Stavanger, Norway. So when we were recording choirs for Liv's Eyes, she was also singing with them. So we picked for us the singers from the Liv's Eyes choir, or we asked them, to join us for the Atrocity of Cults album as well. It was awesome, and Liv was the first soprano, for example, on the choir too. Yeah. Yeah, I like it very much because the orchestra and the choir, they function perfectly together with the band, and yeah, that actually was the goal, to have this kind of horror movie, whatever atmosphere, also in the music.
It blends very well, and I don't follow a lot of
Well, thank you. That's a big compliment. I mean, I have a little bit the same problem. Not that I'm not following. It's just you have probably many more bands, like in the past, and to that, as
it's like you got a lot of bands that are trying to do the suffocation brutal thing, and you got a lot of bands that are trying to do the carcass repulsion grind thing, and then you got a lot of bands that are trying to do the morbid angel thing, and then you got a lot of bands that are trying to do the technical, like, cynic atheist thing, and then there's not a lot to vary them, and a lot of that original whatever it was is missing. So again, like I said, it's surprising when I find a band like Death Chain or like yourselves where it's like, okay, these guys know what's going on, they still got it going. It's not a genre that I touch on anymore. I was a huge fan back in the days of Morrisound Studios and Earache Records when they were doing stuff like Carcass Heartwork and Sunlight, you know, all that stuff. But in the last 15 years or so, it's just kind of dried up. So it's good to see that there are bands out there that are really keeping the sound alive.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, that's the biggest compliment we can get, actually. And it's also for me the driving force to go on and still being able to make an extreme album, which is not like the usual thing, let's say. But I have to say something. I mean, I do also other bands, and I have great respect for every band anyway, which is going out and producing their music and playing the music they like. And
oh, it's a lot of work, and you've got to have some skills to get out in the first place.
Exactly. It's just a matter of taste, probably, always. And maybe if you find that a young kid with 15, he finds a band very cool and original, where probably somebody who is a little older would say, yeah, but I heard that before in the 90s.
Exactly right.
Like with all the retro rock bands nowadays, you know, yes. The Black Sabbath copy number 196. And then, oh yeah, we are the new thing. Oh, no, you are not. There was one band called Black Sabbath. It might have been similar to you. Or Deep Purple, have you heard about them? You know, that's the thing. About young kids, maybe they don't care. They say, who the fuck is Black Sabbath?
Right.
Maybe they don't care if there was a band doing the sound before. But I agree with you. I mean, everything in a way has been done. You don't have to repeat all the way, you know. If you have one cool album, like very original album, why everybody wants to copy that one? You know,
right.
I find it much more attractive for a band to make something different. You can take bits and pieces from everywhere else. And we are also inspired by great music, of course. I mean, that's no question about that.
But there's a lot of copycat bands that's different. So it's almost like a tribute band, you know?
Yeah, that's different.
I notice a strong influence of early death metal on this record. You know, the album to me falls somewhere between Carcass, Morbid Angel, and Suffocation in a lot of respects, albeit with a strong modern touch and much more of a broad musical palette than any of those acts appeared to have.
Yeah, I mean, for me, those bands, they are from that time. So they got that spirit, and
right.
I think this is something which is obviously lasting until today, right?
Exactly. Satan's Brat has strong gothic industrial overtones, and it's very catchy. I could see this track playing in a lot of goth clubs back in the heyday of the scene back in the mid to late 90s. So what is that track about?
Yeah, that track, there's like two sides. First of all, the musical side, this song is actually played now all over the clubs in Germany, what I heard so far. So that's cool. It has a German title. Yeah, right. That's also cool. And it has German lyrics. And actually, the story is quite brutal, sorry to say. So the story is on air then? Yeah, but I will tell you the story. actually, from the area, from my place, inspired story. In the times of the witch hunt, the authorities, they were afraid of strong women in general. So the witch hunt was not only about getting real witches, but also to get rid of women which were strong. And one of them was living close to our home, and she was imprisoned in a prison tower, you say, right?
Right.
They couldn't prove anything that she is a real witch or has done anything magical or bad against anybody. And she didn't confess anything. So they were testing her with all these bad, torturing things and methods, I wanted to say. And she didn't confess. And they couldn't prove still.
Right.
So it happened that she was getting raped by her tormentors and guards.
Oh.
She was in prison and she got a stillbirth. That's very, very tragic. First of all, the more tragic comes here going, and she was hiding below the straw in a prison cell. She was hiding the stillborns and she was a prisoner. And they didn't break her will also then. So she tried to get rid of these mummified corpses. And when she was throwing one of them out of the window of the prison cell, people of the, on the street were finding it. And yeah, and finally, the tormentors of her, they could accuse her for, how you say that? For
infanticide?
Yeah, and for killing a baby, a human being. So that was actually a very, very bad story. When I heard it on the first side, and the other side was, wow, we should write about that. You know, it was happening in our area, and it was an example for that whole period. So Satan's Spout actually is not about a real Satan's Bride.
Right.
It's just people say her, and you hear the lyric, you hear the preach saying, she is Satan's Bride, and the people scream, Satan's Bride, like the scenario when they got her.
So it's like an object lesson.
Yeah, I was in a museum. They had a kind of scenario rebuilded, what was happening, a torture cell and all that. Right. And the one telling this story was quite interesting.
Beyond Perpetual Lights could have easily been a Liza's track to my ears. It's got that dramatic build and symphonic feel. You know, there's very well-constructed music all over this record, so color me impressed.
Thank you. I mean, that's okay. We have some more melodic tracks, like When Empires Fall to Dust, Perpetual Eyes. They have actually, I think, great guitar melodies. Not the orchestra playing in those songs, or not so much. Like Empires Fall to Dust, there's a little orchestra in, but actually in the Perpetual Eyes, it's not. And I am. Thank you. I like it. And it has a great atmosphere also. I think it's really cool to have this variety on the album.
Was that track actually intended for Liza's Eyes ever, or was it always meant to be an atrocity song?
It was always meant to be an atrocity song.
Wow. See, really, even my wife, who's like a big Liza's Eyes fan, doesn't listen to atrocity at all, except for this album, because I heard it. She's like, oh, you know, I don't really get into death metal, but this is pretty good. Okay. And she loved that song right away. She's like, yeah, that could have been a Liza's Eyes song.
Okay.
So,
thank you.
Do you have any plans to tour the States, maybe do a triple bill with Liza's Eyes and leave doing a solo set?
That's pretty brutal. It's going to happen. I actually, Liv is doing a double festival appearance in October, Liv's Eyes and Liv's Solo at the Metal Female Voices in Belgium. But, you know, this would be probably going too far. Maybe it could be that we're going to tour together with Atrocity Liz Eyes again, especially when we have overseas shows or we go into Asia and there's a Chinese tour coming up where we also put the bands together, because it makes really no sense if we go there and come back and go again.
Right.
You know, we can stay there and play together. It makes sense we do it here.
You know, let me know next time you're in the New York area, because we'd love to drop backstage and meet up.
Yeah, sure.
So, do you have anything else you'd like to plug, or did you want to point listeners to your website or your Facebook page?
Yeah, everybody should check out the Treasure Hunt thing and join us on Facebook. Awesome to get some more likes. I think we had a so-called fan who made a Facebook page before we had it, and after asking him or her or whoever it was, oh, we are the band, it would be nice to get the page, or you do it at least in contact, in connection with us.
Right.
So we started from zero. But yeah, that's something people are, of course, invited to see us on the web, and I hope everybody enjoys the album, of course, and good luck for the Treasure Hunt.
Did you want to give the official link to that Facebook page?
Yeah, it's the Atrocity Official on Facebook.
Okay.
It's just that. Yeah.
Well, with that, Alex, I'd like to thank you again for joining us here on Third Eye Cinema. And since I know what's next up in the rotation, we'd certainly love to have you and Liv back to talk the next Liv's Eyes album.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah, we're in the middle of production already. There's no rest ever. No pause.
Awesome.
Thank you very much. I'm very happy that we had this great talk, and I hope to see you on tour.
Definitely. And thanks again. And like I said, when you're in the area, definitely let me know.
All right. Yes. And I hope you have the chance to have anybody to follow you to Europe and find the treasure.
That would be nice. I would love to come to Europe. I don't have the money right now. All right. Well, thank you again
for the interview, and hope to speak to you soon then.
Take care.
Yeah, thank you. Bye-bye.
Cheers. And to close out our interview with Alex, here's Atrocity with Death by Metal. Next to the fall, we're not gonna take your life.
Of Gothic Symphonic Band Serenity. If you'd like to contact us here, comments, suggestions, you're a filmmaker, musician, or join us on air, email us at thirdeyecinema@hotmail.com, visit our website, thirdeyecinema.wordpress.com, or our Facebook page, facebook.com/thirdeyecinema. Third Eye Cinema brought to you by the Big Papa Online Network. I'm Bob Felton. Or any other Third Eye Cinema broadcast, just visit our website or Facebook page for links to the shows in question. All Blog Talk Radio shows are available for archive listener or download at your convenience. See you next week, and don't forget.
Look at you, all of you perverts. Listen, you're a pervert. I believe that in order to be a fanatic film goer, you have to have some kind of perversion. As people who love to watch movie after movie after movie, we have that kind of blessed perversion. So take it as a compliment. You are a pervert.
Pros and the know start with Lowe's, because Lowe's has the fixtures and the savings to get the job done right. Working on a big bath project? Now you can get up to 35% off select bath faucets, and you can even save up to 20% on select toilets. Plus, order what you need online and pick it up in store. See Lowe'sForPros.com for details. So, pro, now that you know, start with Lowe's. Offers valid through 3-1 while supplies last. Selection varies by location, U.S. only.